day. Welcome back to the Free Brightness Podcast. I'm trying to change it up as best I can.
Thank you.
There you are.
Yofi knew when to come in.
Yeah, Yofi's getting her cues.
You're all on it. We didn't even have to cue you.
Yeah, she's like, I'm a part of the show. Let me know.
What's up, Yofi? What is baby Yofi doing?
How are the dogs feeling?
All right. Okay, relax.
Yeah, it's good. You're good. Good girl.
That is the most relaxed and calm tone you've ever introduced a podcast with amidst the absolute madness and chaos. All right. That is going on in the world.
Well, that's who I am. The more pressure there is, the calmer I get. Like, I've always been that way. Like, well,
really?
The world is on fire. I'm sitting there just chilled out going, well, I'm not going to help the situation.
Is this how you're walking? If you were to protest, you'd be like, George Floyd.
Yes, exactly. George Floyd will be remembered this week on
Black Lives Matter. Like you're in the Barry Voice protest.
Yeah, yeah. I'm on NPR eating a bag of chips.
Will you be like in front of the policeman? Will you take a knee with us?
That's like Prince. I want Prince to do like that.
You know? Where is Prince? If Prince were here, the world would be better.
So much better.
The revolution started in Minneapolis 30 years ago, and you know? Apparently Prince knew. And Prince had a foreshadowing.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's his home spot, right?
That's right. It's Minneapolis. If he was there, everything would have been different.
Much different.
Way different.
Yeah.
Of course.
I mean, like, that's what I was talking about with a friend of mine, was how certain people, I feel like, got out before the shit got
that's
real.
Right. They knew. They knew. Well, wow. I mean, first of all, we've had intense amounts of technical difficulties.
Unfortunately, yeah.
I can't even speak. The word didn't even come out. We've had so many difficulties. I can't even... Blah, 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 blah. We've had a podcast that was scrapped because of technical difficulties.
And we will be re-recording with a new interview.
Yes, we will. We had a wonderful interview. This wonderful interview will be coming back. We were supposed to do something last week. It didn't work out. The computer seems to have a glitcheroo. But we have been dying to get to you.
Yes.
We've been desperately wanting to talk about what's going on. I mean, we almost broke curfew last night.
It's insane. You know the president of Mexico actually offered to pay for the wall?
And ka-ching, ka-dunk.
This was the conspiracy that we were all wondering how it would come about. He told us, and it happened. Just the insanity and there's just such a clear lack of A, awareness, and B, real direction for what to do to fix the situation. I mean, it seems like there are some options, but to be truthful, it's a systemic issue. From the cops to the courts, there's an elaborate situation that's playing out. It's unraveling in a lot of ways in front of us. And I don't know how you feel exactly. I do think that it's important to say that in light of what's happening, that I fully support, you know, the protesters that are trying to make a difference. I am wholly against the looting and the destruction and the violence.
Well, we have three groups right now in the United States. We have peaceful protesters who are there, absolutely justified, every right to be there, have a gripe, are there to create dialogue and to get their voices heard. They've been disenfranchised. They have a lot of anger. They have a lot of rage, and they should be able to walk the streets and do whatever they want for all kingdom come. That's group one.
Group one.
God bless group one.
Yeah, and they deserve to have their voices heard.
Absolutely. Then we have group two, which are organized crime and mm-hmm. groups of looters that are coming from out of state and taking advantage of the situation. 95% of the people that are looting the situations in all these cities are coming from out of state, especially in New York. They're coordinated, they're opportunists, they have nothing to do with the protests whatsoever, and they are actively looting our cities and turning their cities into war zones.
In Hollywood, a friend of mine, in relation to that, who lived around the corner, was trying to protect some of the businesses on Fairfax, because they're his neighborhood. They're his business friends, you know, and he was just like, come on, guys, don't do this. And this guy basically pushed him aside and went into the flight school, like, shoe shop on Fairfax. And proceeded to loot the place. And as he came out, my friend was like, where are you from, man? He goes, oh, I'm from Connecticut. I came here this morning.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw another interview where somebody was saying, hey, where are you from? And he's like, Indiana.
Yeah.
And they're like, when did you get here? Yesterday.
Yesterday.
And they're like, why did you come? He's like, I don't know.
No idea.
So there's some coordination going on, and they're on their own encrypted communications, and they're traveling in packs of these cars and they're looking out for each other. So that's group two.
Yeah.
And then here's where it's everybody's going to get angry when I start talking about group three. And group three are the organized political rioters and agitators and agents provocateurs that are within the protests, mm-hmm. turning them violent. You know, like we're talking Antifa, we're talking about other types of major organizations that are out there that are looking to take advantage of this on a political agenda. Right. They're leaving pallets of bricks for people to use, weapons, lead pipes, I mean, you name it.
Well, the Antifa thing is interesting because it's not exactly one organized group. It's a group. It's a few groups. Yeah. And Antifa is just a phrase for anti-fascist.
Right.
And to label that group terrorist is like, you know, labeling a ghost a real person. Like, it's not an actual entity that you can contain. It's a variety of groups together that have been in a series of coordinated efforts.
But they are actively being funded.
Yes.
So they are being funded by our good old friend, Mr. Soros. Mm-hmm. From the Open Source Foundation, and he's looking to turn our country into a shithole.
Of the looters are getting their bails covered.
I mean, people are being paid to protest. Yeah, well, first of all, in New York City, I would like to just say I am a New Yorker also. Yeah. The city's being turned to absolute shit.
Yeah.
And it's awful. And there's absolutely zero law and zero order, and people, it's crazy. And the mayor has absolutely no control whatsoever over the fucking situation. He's a disgrace. You know what they're doing? Cuomo and the mayor, they're like bickering like mm-hmm. like two mafia guys. Yeah. Like, hey, we got it. Don't worry about it. There's a couple of bad apples there.
Well, what do we do?
You should be doing more. And like, I'm doing as much as I can here. You know? you do something about it. I'm doing something about it. Call the National Guard. Ah, we don't need the National Guard.
This sounds like a bad routine on like the mayor, on like the Carol Burnett show.
I know. I don't need army. Who needs army? You need army. Oh. I need an army. You know,
but that's just it. I was on Sunset and Vine, and the National Guard were there.
Yeah,
You know, not like tanks, but they had Humvees and they had their military vehicles there. And you know, there was clearly a peaceful protest going on. And yet, other people I saw across the street were like, "Get out of here! You guys are destroying our city!" And I was like, "Whoa! They haven't started anything yet."
No. Well, look, the National Guard needs to be called into New York City.
Yeah,
yesterday.
Absolutely,
and they have to. And that, thank God that the National Guard were called into Los Angeles.
And, yeah, they have to. They destroyed my city.
And in lieu of National Guard not coming in, what is happening is people are taking it upon themselves to guard their own stores with guns.
Yeah, with guns.
And God bless the gun owners. You know, I'm sorry. You know, there's a reason that guns need to be owned in situations like this. Not automatics and all this other stuff, but someone needs to bring a shop. If I had a store and police aren't able to do anything, if I had a comic book shop, I'd be down there with my freaking shotgun. I'd be like, listen, I don't want to hurt you.
Oh my God.
I don't want to shoot at you, but get away.
The nerds that have the balls to loot a comic book store.
Oh my God. You know what I was – the day that this was happening, the first day in the Beverly Fairfax area mm-hmm. when everything – the first day where it really got gnarly. Yeah. My comic book shop is right on Melrose.
Yeah.
They were systematically going down Melrose, and I was looking and I'm looking at the map and where the streets are. I'm like, oh my God, they're 3 blocks away. They're 2 blocks away. Mm-hmm. They're 1 block – then they're across the street. They looted the Japan LA across the street.
Oh, yeah.
Right across the street from my comic book shop. I'm like, I have to go down there.
Did they leave it alone?
They left it alone.
Oh, wow.
God bless it.
There's some respect for the Marvel Universe.
Golden Apple Comics down the street, they got hit.
Really?
They got hit.
Damn.
Their windows were totally Golden smashed. Apple. Yeah, but I go to Melrose, mm-hmm. Mega City 1.
Mega City.
Because I've known them. I've been there for 12 years.
Oh, yeah.
So people.
There's a Foot Locker down that I saw on Hollywood Boulevard that had everything boarded up with plywood. And outside on the plywood, it's spray painted. Everything's already been stolen. Because the night before, everything had been stolen, and they broke down the boards and got back in to find nothing.
The
Grove has been looted.
Everything.
The farmer's market. They destroyed an Apple store. And I was like, I don't really have a lot of – I mean, I don't want any businesses to be destroyed or anything like that. But, you know, the things that are insured are clearly like the Apple store or Best Buy or whatever. But
yeah,
nobody's
– the thing that breaks my heart the most is, okay, go after Nordstrom's, Nike, Adidas – you know, Ross, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But all of Melrose, And I understand. Look, I understand the argument. Why are you getting upset over property versus lives?
Right.
Okay. And I get that argument. And this is not to say this is more important, but the breaking of my heart is that everybody on Melrose are small business owners. These are not major
mom and pop.
These are all mom and pop. And I, you know, when I relate to when I first moved here from New York, that's where I went all the time was Melrose because it reminded me of New York so much. It was really eclectic, kind of funky. Rock and roll, you know, weirdy fashion.
Very, yeah, it's very niche. I mean,
it was very cool. And, you know, to see all these people, like one of the people came out and he said, you know, my grandfather, he's 81 years old. He owns this shoe store and this is what he uses to, you know, eat and pay his rent.
Right.
And that's gone. And so it's not to take away from, again, this is nothing to do with the protesters. We're not saying that this is more, this supersedes you. But the offshoot from what these groups, these looters and everybody else are doing is just really, it's so god-awful. And it's taking away from what needs to be focused
on. Yeah, I think it takes away from the argument. And I get really frustrated because my friend Tracy, she's African-American and she's conflicted because she believes exactly that, you know, there needs to be an answer for what happened with George Floyd and the consistency. You know, there's, you know, a series of racially tense events, you know, the woman in the park in New York, yes. Ahmaud,
yeah.
Getting shot, the jogger,
Aubrey, yeah.
Or, you know, like, and it just keeps escalating and escalating. And so this is the response. And she says, I don't believe in violence, yeah. And I don't believe in anybody getting killed or hurt, you know, but there needs to be a response. And so many people are under the pretense that violence begets violence.
Well, I saw somebody was interviewed. And she had some really interesting points. And she was saying, we have been protesting peacefully and we've not gotten any, you know, forward motion on this. And now this is the way we're protesting and this is what needs to happen.
Yeah.
And when asked about, you know, what's going on with all the looting and those, she was like, well, there's chaos in our lives every day. Now the chaos is being brought to you. And while I don't, you know, I'm not going to justify that, it's understandable. I understand, like, now you know how we feel every day. Now you know the fear we feel every day and how, you know, people fearing for their children going out, wondering if they're going to come back. So, you know, you're hitting people where it hurts most
and
their wallets and their business and their livelihoods. And, you know, and life is not more precious than business and livelihoods, but this is in a way they're justifying, they're not saying we're not the looters, but now you know how people are feeling.
Yeah.
And of course, look, it's also a perfect storm. You had people that have been holed up for months.
Oh, yeah. The tension, the pressure.
Tension, it has been, a powder keg. And now everybody's pouring onto the streets willy-nilly. And it's like a free – and so now it's just like – it's like you can't repress people in homes for 2 to 3 months and not expect some sort of
– You get what you deserve.
Yeah. Well, that's what they're saying. Oh, and look at the coronavirus is just kind of going out the fucking window.
We'll see. Come on. Give it a couple weeks.
It's bullshit. It's all bullshit. It's all lies.
What I was going to say that was pretty funny in West Hollywood, they blocked off the streets on Santa Monica and Sunset and San Vicente.
And the Sunset Strip.
Yeah, the entire strip is blocked off with giant trash cans
and bins
and everything. And I asked Argus Hamilton, I said, hey, did they loot the Comedy Store? He goes, there's enough riffraff there already. They don't, there's nothing there for them to take.
The ghosts of the Comedy Store would scare anybody away.
You're telling me I don't get Robin Williams' photo? Like, Rich, imagine a comic running out with a bunch of those framed photos.
Oh my goodness.
But we're in a really weird place where even as a comedian, I'm getting people to say to me, hey, this isn't the time for jokes. You know, this isn't, and I was like, but I don't know how.
No, I have to make fun of it all. Yeah,
I have to also. Like, I don't know how.
That's you need us to make fun of it.
Right. You need the release.
I'm going to say, here's a release. Here's what I wanted to say. Oh my God, the girls in the protests are so freaking cute. I'm looking at them like,
oh my god,
these girls are absolutely adorable.
My friend Natalie, she's adorable, right? And in her heart, she's like one of those really, she's not going to listen to this. She's
the most attractive protests I've ever seen in my life. Like everybody out there, I'm like,
gorgeous
women.
But she's like one of those chihuahuas that like are really loud and think they're this huge mastiff, but they're this really small thing trying to make a message. And she's really got passion and she goes out there with her sign and she's all into it. And she was on CNN too, so you might have seen her.
Oh, really?
And then she got upset because the police broke her sign.
Those assholes.
Yeah, and it was like, she was like, I put some work into this, you know, and it was like, don't get too upset, it's your sign.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a much bigger issue going on right now.
I mean, how do you, can you even, hit on women at a protest? Like, is that even possible?
Do you
like,
protest here often?
Yeah, that's right.
It's like, no, have I seen you at another protest before?
Yeah. Hey, there's another protest happening down the street. You want to get a coffee in between?
You know, you want to grab some to go?
You know, God, I'm hungry walking these streets. You know. Grubhub?
Yeah, right.
Grubhub,
anybody?
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, you know, that's...
No justice, no peace. No, what's your number?
I did see a funny meme where it was like one guy was like, Black Lives Matter, and some white guy comes up, he's like, All Lives Matter, and then some metalhead comes up, he's like, No Lives Matter, and they're like, Yeah.
Well, I love what you posted about Seth Rogen.
Oh my God, how great was that?
He's like, all somebody comments on his thing, he says a Black Lives Matter thing, somebody says, All Lives Matter, he's like, Fuck off.
All Lives Matter, fuck you. Get away
fuck
from
your
me.
Father.
Yeah, fuck
don't
off.
Don't watch my movies.
Yeah, don't watch
fuck my movies. He's like, fuck you. He's like, fuck you and your father.
Yeah.
He's like, fuck you. And he's like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. Fuck you and your mother.
He doesn't care. He's just like, get away from me. That fuck off. Don't watch my movies.
That was the funniest thing I've seen out of everything.
Yeah. And he looks like, I don't know if you saw it.
He looks awful.
He looks terrible.
What happened to him? He just aged 30 years. Yeah. He looks like an old rabbi.
He does. He looks clearly
what
like
happened?
He just disappeared into the desert and came out 40 years later.
It does. He looks like Moses.
Yeah.
He looks like Moses. A skinny Moses.
Pineapple Express Moses.
Oh my goodness. Poor.
Yeah, that's a different burning bush. I just want to say that. Pot sales are up through the roof right now.
Yeah.
One of the funniest things. I was talking to somebody. They're like, yeah, we've got these dispensaries and nobody's looting them.
No, I saw a dispensary getting looted.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
On Melrose,
yeah.
They hit
oh, all right, yeah. Because this other guy was like, I think they just keep forgetting. I was like, it's a thought.
They don't know what to do with it. They're going to have all this pot. They're like, you know.
Yeah, they get in there. They're like, where would we be doing again?
Oh, my goodness.
You know.
Oh, my goodness.
And I said that to a buddy of mine, and then it evolved, you know, where it was like, look, I don't have a say as a – I mean, look, I have an opinion. And unless you ask me for my opinion, though, I'm not going to tell you my opinion about it because I do not feel like my black friends really want me to go out there and be like the face of anything. I'm not the guy. I don't have any point of reference because I am not that culture.
Well, everybody. Well, you can go if it's called to you, then go.
Right.
If you want to go, go.
No. I'm not saying anything against protesting. I'm just saying I've literally seen on the news. White people telling black people how to feel, how to mourn, how to protest.
Who's doing that? This is not my position. This is like, this is the abortion thing. Like, this is your body. Do with it what you
exactly.
want with your body.
I have.
This is your protest. Do what you want with your protest.
Why
as long as you're not hurting anybody, you can do whatever the hell you want.
Yeah, I'm against it. I mean, I'm against the police brutality. I'm against the systemic racism. And I have a strong feeling that things need to change. And we're doing hopefully something about it with the situation. But I'm definitely not the dumbass out there.
Do you want to know something interesting? I just remembered this today, actually. When I was in New York, my first independent film I ever booked in my life was a film called Black is White. And in that movie, it was directed by this white guy. He switched all the races. It was before A White Man's Burden.
Watchmen. Did you see Watchmen? A
little bit different.
Yeah.
But so all the black roles were white people, and all the white roles were cast by black with black people. So I was one of the
white
kids that got.
Yeah.
And the closest friend who I have right now, Dash, he was the lead.
Oh, I love Dash.
Yeah, he was the lead in that movie. That's
oh
how I
God.
Met him. That's how we got to know each other.
That
really
is cool.
Well. So I was a character called Lil Benz. And Lil Benz. I had a freestyle.
You
that,
do
that Dash
you
wrote. I was
Benz.
Totally Lil Benz. I was like, what was it went? I was like, I'm the ill Lil Benz to my foes and my friends, but I'm the one around the way for strictly trying to make ends. Yeah, you think I'm cocking the Z's? You think I'm talking about the this or baby ounces? But please, stop sucking me on my shit. Anyway, I don't remember.
Oh my God, you don't remember it? You remember all of it?
Down on my knees, working my shit so fast. I say, yo, hun, take it ease. But she be jerking the click like she sniffed 20 keys. The plenty D's. Two nuts will always be here. I can see clearly now that the rain is gone. Holding my Jimmy on the cliff, smoking a fat spliff. Never hesitate to step a sucker like McFly did Biff. Watch your back.
I love it.
Before I started to have to buck your palms, because I'm flexy on the tech and I'm a sex. I got him to put this at the end.
Because
I'm a sexy motherfucker.
That's great.
That was my fucking
That's
rap.
Great.
But here's the thing. I want to make a point about this. So to be the role, I had my goatee, right? So I had my goatee. I had the goatee, mm-hmm. full goatee, and I shaved the sides of my head, and I had my hair in twisty braids.
No.
I had my hair in twisty braids.
Oh, my God.
And I got the what's it called? The
little dashes.
Two dashes on the side of my eyebrows.
Yeah.
And so I was like that for a month.
Oh, my God.
6 weeks. And I would walk around New York like this, just normal me.
Right, right.
And I was a little more hip-hop yo-yo-yo back in New York. But I got to tell you, when I was walking around New York looking the way I did, I had a completely different – it was like the Eddie Murphy walking around right, like a white guy.
As the white guy.
I was walking around like a
black hip, guy.
Black guy. Getting... I was – people were scared of me.
That's fascinating.
I would go to my – you know, bakery that I went every day and like there would be old ladies in there and they would just like kind of like, oh my God, and just walk out. Like wouldn't even begin finish their transaction. And people were looking and people were like coming up to me randomly and being like, do I want to buy pot? Just randomly. Like not usually you walk Washington Square.
Right.
You're always going to be asked if you want pot. Now I was being asked like
you want pot?
Every corner.
Wow.
Yo man, you need something? I don't know, the latest Hulk come out? I mean, no, tickets to the Knicks game, maybe?
That's so funny.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, there really was, and yeah, so I understand the racial profiling and all that other stuff and people feeling like, you know, they're not being judged for who they are, but based on their looks. And
well, I read Malcolm Gladwell's new book, and it talks about that, where the cause and effect that leads to certain situations. You know, there was a girl that was pulled over and taken to jail by a police officer that had been trained to look for certain things that would indicate a criminal of sorts, you know? And they had been training these guys like this across the country because it worked in one small community to limit crime. But then by putting it out there like that, you ended up creating an energy of an enemy.
Right.
So as they're out there policing, they're not looking at everybody the same.
Yeah.
They're just not, yeah. You know, and they have certain like requirements, you know. So like if you see a tree air freshener hanging from the rear view mirror, they consider that to be an indication that you might have drugs in your car because that will hide the smell of the drugs.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding. This is all in the book. And so they look for certain things. Like they look to see, you know, the weight of a vehicle, the idea of how someone's driving. Do they look like they're going somewhere far or not? And they talked about how this one guy pulled over this woman and, you know, she was black and she was already offended. She'd been pulled over 5 times before recently and she was just like, I'm going to smoke a cigarette. And he goes, can you put the cigarette out? You know? And she's like, no, I don't want to. And he's like, can you get out of the vehicle? She goes, what did I do? Yeah. There's no reason. And he ends arresting her, putting her in jail. And she killed herself in jail.
Oh.
And it was this like total example of,
I think
system.
I remember seeing that. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And that was fishy how she killed herself. Yeah. I don't think she killed herself.
I don't know either.
I think she was pretty much murdered.
Yeah. There's definitely,
there was a lot of, yeah, I remember that. She was murdered.
And even in the follow up where the cop was found guilty in his racism, there was this idea in the questioning where it was like, oh, well, she shouldn't have been there. And where shouldn't she have been? Driving her car by her work? Are you kidding me? Like, and so like that idea of like, wow, you're in the wrong place, the wrong time. Well, nowhere is the right place and the right time if you're a certain kind of person, you know?
Yeah.
And I want to make that clear. If you walk into the world assuming, like I heard this one comedian talk about that, like assuming you're in a pretend Afghanistan war-like scenario, why do they have camo gear on?
Yeah.
You know, why do the we're not in Desert Storm. We're not in Vietnam. You know, we're in America.
Right.
There is no reason to assume we're all the enemy.
Right.
You know, and then it's even worse if you're somebody who's been predominantly portrayed as somebody who's the enemy.
I just don't understand it. My brain has never worked in that way or frequency where I see anybody as
you have
negative.
To have it happen to you.
I don't understand.
It happened to me in Texas.
What
prejudice?
Happened?
You know, for being Jewish, they
oh,
found.
I've had that, but I mean, I'm saying like I've seen people who've been shitty to me as such, but I've never seen anybody of color or background or Middle Eastern or European or Asian, like anybody has always just been a person. Like I don't understand. That's why that's why I feel so hard to like connect to the anger of it, because to me I just don't. What do you mean?
Well,
like,
how can
you?
I have a problem with that too, because I stay lighthearted, and I've had people come out of and say, "You got to take this more seriously." And I said, "I'm not denying the seriousness."
Yeah.
But I do think it's important to stay sort of calm and allow the opportunity for the conversation to happen. Well, I don't know. This reminds me of like a really bad version of the video game Civilization. I don't know if you've ever played Sid Meier's Civilization.
No, but I heard of it. It's supposed to be good.
It's amazing. So over 5,000 years, you pick your country that you want to represent, and you have to grow your civilization. And if you do a good job, they have parades for you. You know, really? I'm always Abe Lincoln, so they're like, President Lincoln is the best.
Why are you Abe Lincoln?
Well, that's I'm always American. So you have your choice when you're, you know, decide to be American. You could, you can be Abe Lincoln, or you could be who was it? Eleanor Roosevelt. You can be different. You can be different famous Americans, essentially. But you can also be Cleopatra if you're Egyptian.
Oh, I want to be Cleopatra.
Yeah, you know, and so like it's cool.
That does not mean I'm gay. Thank you.
No, no, but you do love the eyeshadow.
Oh my God, yeah, totally.
That I know. It just makes your eyes
eyeshadow.
Pop.
I don't wear eyeshadow. No, I've always wear eyeshadow.
It's just natural eyeliner.
Yeah, I have natural eyeliner. That's why I'm prince.
Your eyes are just.
They are so beautiful.
I hope we don't get backlash from the gay community now.
Why would they get backlash?
Guideliner?
They're so
beautiful.
They're so beautiful.
we're mocking the accent. But
they're like, put those freaking trash bins on the strip in WeHo now.
Yes, we cannot have our stores looted.
They
okay.
are putting rainbows on the trash
Excuse
bins.
Excuse me.
That's right. They're already like, we're going to do a march for Black Lives Matter at Gay Pride. Just so like, let's just get that out of the way, okay? We'll all march together.
All marching. You know, your masks will have sparkles. That's the hilarious thing. It's like, I never thought I'd read the words West Hollywood Riot and not have it be some sort of like, you know, homage to like Rocky Horror Picture.
Was there a West Hollywood Riot?
Yeah, that's what Where? It said. I mean, it didn't happen, but they said West Hollywood Riots on the news.
What?
And it didn't happen. It was
Why
like
did they put it out there that there was a West Hollywood
Because
Riot?
There was a protest.
Oh,
and they mislabeled it as a riot. And that's what I'm thinking is the real problem with confusion in this situation, too, is you got to identify the people that are actually there for the right reasons, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's harder, too, because there's so many infiltrators, there's so many agitators, there are people in that are trying to, you know, cause chaos, turn the country into an absolute mess. It's intentional.
It's scary.
That's what they want. They want to devolve this into a civil war. Look, the timing of it is quite perfect. I mean, the corona thing's pretty much done.
But that's the thing I was saying about civilization. In the game,
yeah.
if your society is having protests and there's civil unrest, if there's rampant disease and toxicity and pollution,
They don't have a parade for you.
They do not have a parade for you. You're losing the game. But you can still launch yourself into space. And I was like, wow, everything in this last week is like the game.
They totally launched into space. That's awesome.
Yeah. We got two astronauts who finally got to escape Earth at the right time.
Yeah, they went to the moon where all the other fun stuff happens.
Yeah. And then, like, anyways, I was just pointing out to my friends, I was like, this is hilarious and horrible. Like, God, whoever it is that's playing out our universe at the moment right now, is definitely, going in a bizarre, like, could you imagine 10, 20 years ago that we would be ever in this position that we're in right now? Well, I like what Jay Leno said about it. He said that it's really given an opportunity for Beverly Hills to raise their own kids. Because nobody usually does. And you're like, oh, wait a minute. What are you doing home now?
Right.
Well, the maid will – oh, wait. No, there's no maid.
Oh, my God. It's so crazy. Like, we were just about to open up L.A., and now not only is it closed, but it's boarded the frick up. Unbelievable. Now, when the hell
– Oh, yeah.
You know what's interesting, though? I'll tell you what's pretty interesting. The past week, if I decided to – You know how much money I could have made if I wanted to Uber?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure of it.
It was like Halloween on steroids. Can you imagine if I'm
bet.
If I'm there, I'm like, I'm here for a Melvin? Is there a Melvin? Sir, we're going to need you to move. No, I can't move. I'm looking for a Melvin. Got a comfort ride to South Pasadena. Yeah,
right. Willard.
Melvin 4.82? Sir, you're going to have to move. Okay.
4.82.
No, I've been calling him. He's not answering. Melvin, no, you don't understand. Officer, can I just go around the corner? I don't get a cancellation fee until it's 5 minutes. So I have to at least stay here for 5 minutes. And sir, we're going to need you to move. I have to stay here 5 minutes.
They yelled at me from my balcony to go inside or they would arrest me yesterday.
Did they really?
Yeah. So
Did
like,
they really?
Yeah, I'm on Beechwood and
in
Santa
balcony,
Monica.
But that's not curfew if you're on your balcony.
No, I'm on my balcony.
How is
outside.
That not curfew?
What do you mean?
You're in your home.
I'm in my own home, right?
So that's not not breaking curfew.
I'm outside.
That's not outside. That's in your home. I know. That's part I'm of in your my home.
But they were. There's already been a report of somebody who got shot who was on their balcony filming.
Who?
This guy in L.A. He was. They shot a rubber bullet at him.
They shot a rubber bullet at a guy filming from his balcony.
Yeah, told him to stop filming. Yes.
What were these? Well, that's crazy. Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm serious. This happened yesterday. I was on my balcony. They were telling. What was funny was my accountant, Tracy.
God.
You know, she was there, and her boyfriend was there, and they're both black, and they didn't talk to them at all. The cops were looking at me and my white friend, and they're like, "You guys need to go inside right now." And I was like, "I don't know if they know this is my home. I live here. I'm on my own property. You know, whole street was filled with cops, like the cars." There was like 30 cop cars, and then as the cop cars came down the street, there was a line of police from sidewalk to sidewalk with 2-3 rows deep in SWAT gear pushing people. And there might have been maybe max 100 people that were part of the protesters coming down my street. And the looters or whatever were taking this junk off the sidewalk and throwing it in the middle of the street. And then it was quickly followed up by people cleaning up the junk. So there's this weird like divide of people being like, yeah, protest and loot. And then other people being like, yeah, protest, don't do that. You know? And it was fascinating because before the cops even got there, everything that they had like sort of destroyed was quickly cleaned up.
So if I go get there with my Uber and one of the looters wants to put their stuff in my Uber, then what do I do?
Put their stuff in your Uber or destroy your car?
No, if they're like looting and they call an Uber
and I
roll up and there's like a television and some like a big 30 pairs of jeans.
That's on you, man. You want a tip or not?
I'm like, shit, this is a $40 fare for 10 minutes. Like, what do I do? That's a real conundrum.
I saw a video of a guy trying to take an ATM machine on a public bus. And
I saw that.
I was like,
imagine if like an Uber is like with an ATM machine. I'm just like, that's not going to fit in my trunk, man.
I'm sorry,
you're going to have to get an XL for that.
Right? You know? Like, who would do that?
Did you hear about the National Guard guy?
Mm-mm.
There was a guy last night, at 1 a.m, shows up at the fake National Guard. He had a sidearm, he had a rifle, he was fully loaded, tactical gear.
Yeah, whole National Guard outfit.
Yeah, and you know how he got there?
How?
An Uber picked him.
You!
Can you imagine? How am I supposed to know?
Imagine the Uber driver picking that guy up. You're like, did they call you at home?
I know. I'm like, oh my God, I have to get you there quickly.
Yeah, you're in need.
You're on need. Yeah, I would have like been rushing. And then I'm like, that guy was what? Who was going to kill it? Can you imagine if I drove the guy that was going to kill her?
You'd be accessory.
Yeah.
I mean, but could you imagine if like they were like so in need of like people to show up that they start pulling like World War II vets out of like reservist status and like, get your gear on, Grandpa.
Oh,
and they're
goodness.
Like, all right, I'm picking up, you know, Murray at the senior center and he's decked out with his bayonet and everything because they don't have enough people to guard the shops.
That's
As long as Hollywood's closed right now, AMC is about to file for bankruptcy. So like,
now we don't like AMC. Arclight's killing me. I feel so bad for Arclight.
Oh, I love Arclight.
I know, it's the best thing ever.
They're the best.
They are the greatest.
Have you ever? What was your first experience? I love this my story. So what was your experience with Arclight when you first went to a theater?
I don't remember the first time I went to Arclight.
I remember my first time because it was mind blowing. I go up and it's not like a ticket person, it's a ticket kiosk.
That's right.
You know, and when I go in there to order my concessions, it's not a hot dog, it's a sausage baguette, a flavored sausage baguette. I got watermelon, apple, cherry flavored sausage baguette.
That's right.
And then I get inside and there's an usher, this beautiful woman that's dressed like an usher. She scans my ticket and escorts me to my
seat. That's right, yes, she does.
And I'm like...
And on her name tag, it tells you what her favorite movie is.
Yeah.
What was her favorite movie?
Karen? Alien.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Alien. Alien or Aliens?
Alien.
Oh, Alien.
And I thought...
The original.
Yeah, the original.
Yeah.
And I thought, if she's not doing anything later, I'm happy for her to keep her outfit on and we could talk.
Really? That's a little fetish? A little Arclight?
A little bit. I have a little bit of like a bellhop / usher fetish, you know? Like I want her to bring my bags up and turn my bed down and leave a mint. And then we can start.
Oh, my God. This wasn't the first time I went to Arclight, but my Arclight story when I first came to LA was, I had gotten tickets for Lord of the Rings, I remember. And it was like the opening weekend. And I was so excited. And I had the hots for this girl, this actress. And she was also a geeky Lord of the Rings
person. Oh, those are the best.
This was like I was going to be in heaven.
Yeah.
And so I had gotten the best seats. There were center and the dome and everything. And the night of, she calls me, because this was before texting and everything. And she calls me and she cancels on me. And I'm like, what happened? She's like, I got into a car accident. I'm like, you got into a car accident? Where was the accident? She's like,
You think she was BSing?
Yeah, she's totally bullshitting me. And I'm like, but I got these tickets. And you know what she tells me? She's like, well, just scalp them. I'm like, scalp them? What do you want me to do? Go in front of Arclight? Lord of the Rings, like a Lord of the Rings.
I got Lord of the Rings. Tickets, how many do you want? What do you want?
You want Lord of the Rings, like a Lord of the Rings? Godfather 3, I got Godfather 3.
Return of the King, what do you want?
What do you want? Point Break, I got Point Break.
Yeah, Point Break.
Hey, they're showing Bonnie and Clyde next week. You want Bonnie and Clyde?
I got tickets to Cats. Nobody wants the Cats tickets. Why does nobody want the tickets to see Cats? I know.
That was my scalping movie ticket thing. Can you imagine? Oh, God, that's hilarious. I didn't go. I was so devastated I didn't go see the movie by myself.
That's interesting, because I always look at movies and certain concert events as like cultural moments that I'm proud to be a part of. You know, like I was really – I like – for example, there was a concert in the in San Bernardino Valley, called Inland Invasion, and it was all these punk rock bands that I've always wanted to see, and like Sex Pistols were reuniting, and they're the headliners, and so I like was so stoked, and I had to be there, and I got my tickets, and I go there, and I totally forgot that it was my mom's birthday.
Oh no!
And I was like, oh, well, I'll be back. Don't worry about it, Mom. And she was okay with me going because she understood the nature of wanting to witness history. Right. Like, she saw Jimi Hendrix at the Hollywood Bowl.
Did she really?
Yeah.
He
played at the Hollywood Bowl.
Is there a recording of that? I didn't even know.
Oh, it's got to be out there somewhere. But they used to have fountains in the front of the stage, mm-hmm. like a big water thing. Mm-hmm. And he had to say, hey, everybody, you got to get out of the fountains or we got to stop playing. It's all groovy, but please get out of the fountains.
Wow. I had no idea. Yeah. I had no idea I played at the Hollywood Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
There's got to be a bootleg somewhere.
My mom was there though, and she told me how amazing it was to see him live. And like when my stepdad said he saw Zeppelin live, and I was like, "You guys, I mean, so like for me, I saw Tom Petty's last concert
at the Hollywood Bowl.
Yeah, and I had no idea. Nobody knew that that was going to be his last show. Right. You know, and so like that is almost this more crazy feeling of knowing about history, because at the time it's like, I could see him again sometime. I mean, it's Tom Petty, but I went anyway. A week later, he was dead.
Wow.
And so, yes, I know the moral is cherish, you know, your life. Cherish the moments you get. Everything could be a historical moment. You don't really know how one thing could turn into an elaborate, you know. The other thing is I realize that, like, where we're in society today, they're going to be talking about this for decades.
Yeah.
You know, like the way they talked about the movements in the 60s, the way they talked about.
And what did you do when this was going down?
Where were you?
Yeah. I was in a storage facility / apartment in the valley doing a podcast with another Jew. Sweaty Jew. We were schwitzing. I had my doggy next to me, and that's what I was doing.
I mean, without it being considered offensive, but there is a degree of luck that I've been getting, like, out of this. Of it's not the George Floyd thing, that's horrible, but from the coronavirus to today, you know, I got I was acting in this Zoom movie.
Yeah, I heard about that.
And apparently it's like it was one of the only productions to be done in the last 3 months, and so Variety, NBC, CNN, CBS, Fox.
What's the name of the movie?
Central Authority.
Jesus, what a freaking name for a movie right now.
Yeah.
That's not really very
PC.
Yeah, geez, Central Authority.
And I play a guy that's selling broken condoms to repopulate the country during the coronavirus.
You're kidding me.
No, it's a comedy.
Broken condoms?
Yeah.
What, are you taking little pins and popping them? Oh my God, that's awful.
But I'm not actually doing that. I'm saying, I have the condoms, and then like they see me with like a virtual background. They sent me a photo, and we shot it over Zoom. And so it's basically like a green screen, you know.
Yeah.
And so the background is like Hollywood, but like on fire, with the palm trees on fire and devastated. And I'm sitting there in my mask going, hey guys, you guys still need protection, right? You know, and like, the movie got its own little popularity behind it because of it being like the first of its kind.
Is it out right now?
No, no, it's still in post-production.
Oh.
But when we're doing interviews and all of that, and it's gotten me some weird success. So people have heard about it. They're talking about it. That segued me into having like a manager now for that. I've, you know, actually am getting opportunities through, you know, I auditioned, I got cast in a play about Edgar Allan Poe on Sunday. I got cast in another movie that shoots at the end of this month. And, I'm now probably going to be writing a screenplay that I'm getting paid for, and it's all really now. Like, you just...
Wow, you got a lot going on.
But all of it's nothing that I, like, anticipated happening. That's, you know, really we got hit up through Facebook by a good friend of mine to maybe take Isaac and I on the road to do maybe. This podcast maybe. On a tour sort of scenario. We do comic books of the country. What do you say?
It's comic books of the country.
We go from comic book store until we hit Kevin Smith's store.
That's a long road trip. I don't think we're gonna survive a road trip across the country.
You think you'd kill me by that?
Or vice versa.
I wouldn't kill you.
I would kill you.
No, me and Yofi would cruise over the Grand Canyon together.
No. How dare you? No, I'd kill you. I'd strangle you by Nevada.
I was about to say that you'd be Brad Pitt in that movie.
No.
I'd strangle you by Nevada? That's 3 hours, man.
Maybe not Nevada. Definitely Oklahoma.
Yeah, okay. I'll give you that.
I wanted to bring something up. I think we're about to wrap up soon. But I wanted to bring something up that I thought was the most interesting thing ever.
Ever.
Well, not ever. But yeah. So we are energetic beings, mm-hmm. obviously. And energy is energy. And what is the biggest energetic force that is closest to us in the universe?
The sun.
The sun. Exactly. Yeah. So, did you know that when you look at the recent course of history, that solar flares or sunspot activity could be intrinsically correlated to how we've had mass protests or major incidents of violence or unrest or major events that have happened in our lifetime.
I mean, not to get too hippy-dippy, but this is the age of Aquarius we're in.
Well, it's interesting. So there are all these flares. That there's different types of flares that come up. There's solar activity follows cycles around 11 years, 24 years, 25 years. So the last major solar flare occurred in 2017. It was an M-class, October 20th. And so in August of 17, the Unite the Right rally took place in Charlottesville, Virginia, and there was somebody who was killed. Heather Heyer was killed. Almost two other dozen protesters were injured. And then 15
Well, there were good people on both sides.
That's right. Later on, September 15th, there were large protests when Jason Stockley was acquitted of murder of Anthony Lamar Smith. So it was really interesting. And then you start going back and back. And then 2003 saw 8 of the 50 most powerful solar flares recorded since 86. And this was the same year the Iraq War began and then all that stuff. And then in the 8 of the most 50 powerful solar flares occurred in 2001, a year obviously with 9/11. And everything and the destruction of the Twin Towers. So it's really interesting. So we're getting a lot of solar flare activity right now. And, I think there's a really direct correlation that you could really look into it if you start doing the research. Human activity and moments where there's all this unrest, I think there is something that can be said for our connection to the sun and why it's, you know.
I mean, like, we can see it already with the relationship to the moon and the tides and the connection that people have when they're talking about, oh, we go crazy in a full moon. Can you imagine how crazy we get when we have intense solar radiation? There's a lot of heavy things going on right now, and I really encourage everyone to still stay safe, you know, and not let themselves get too out of control, because the truth of the matter is, even if you're looting and even if these places are insured, most of them have cameras, and most of them are eventually going to get to you.
The problem with that is they have cameras, but everybody's got these fakakhta masks on their face, so it doesn't really matter. You don't know how they're going to catch anybody walking around with these ridiculous masks on their face.
That's a good point. I guess eye recognition, maybe?
Eye recognition?
You know what I mean? Like Minority Report?
They caught somebody who completely attacks there was this white kid completely attacked some business owner. It was just an absolute brutal attack, and all they have is from the nose up. They have them on camera.
Well, that's interesting. There's a kid.
So what do you do?
DNA evidence. I don't know. This is a good point you make there. I mean, there was a guy that strayed away from the herd. Let's put it that way, and went down a residential neighborhood, in Hollywood and started beating up a car, broke the window, and he broke the wrong dude's car.
Oh, no.
He was an NBA player, 6 foot six. I forget the guy's name. He was on this 6 foot six, 225 pound, huge black guy. Came out and beat the shit out of this guy. He says, "This has got nothing to do with George Floyd. This is street justice. Yeah. You don't fuck with another person's truck.
That's right.
I'm sorry.
You don't fuck with anybody."
The kid got his ass kicked, and his friends had to pull the NBA guy off of the kid, and the kid was like, I'm sorry. He ran away. Yeah. But it was like the idiocy of some of the people involved needs to be checked.
I saw John Jones, the UFC fighter in Las Vegas, yeah, taking stuff away from some idiot with a skateboard busting stuff up.
It's I totally disagree with that.
Yeah. But these are people that are either being paid for or that are coordinating with other people just to come in and, again, create chaos.
All right. Well, I want to wrap it up with this. I have a question for you, Isaac.
All right.
What's the solution?
What's the solution?
When in your imagination of how we could get back to some concept of normalcy, what's the solution?
Well, that's a long answer. That's not going to be something you wrap up with the podcast. I would say what you can do individually, I mean, that's a huge political, global, economics, financial answer. What you could do individually is do whatever it is. You know, I just posted something today. Do whatever it is that calls to you as far as contributing to whatever you feel is right to ameliorate the situation, where you can be part of the solution. And whatever that is for you is whatever that is for you. It may be protesting, it may be talking, it may be doing research, it may be watching a movie, it might be, you know, sending a text, making some phone calls, being politically active, not being politically active, talking with your friends, not talking with your friends, reaching out to somebody you haven't, you know, or not, or whatever it is that is to you. And then, again, hippy dippy, this is real. You know, we have to start putting out the vibration of love out there.
Absolutely.
And we need to be, I'm meditating. I'm trying to connect to frequencies that are putting out love there, because that's what the world needs now. You know, we really need some love out there. There's a lot of anger. There's a lot of hatred. There's a lot of rage is coming up. There's a lot of healing that needs to be done. So,
I think,
you know, people just need to start again, you know, that the meditation and the vibrational frequency, and doing whatever it is that you feel you need to do to work everybody through this very tough transition.
You didn't ask, but I'm going to tell you my opinion on the solution.
I was going to. I was just kind of thinking about it. Okay. What would you say, Jonathan Freeman?
On an individual level, I think it's extremely important to improve your knowledge, skills, and wisdom so that history doesn't repeat itself and you have the opportunity to teach others from your experience, and in that respect, bring people together as a community and celebrate our gifts, and eventually, as a world, be able to share in the concept of harmony and unity. I know these all seem like...
Well, what's that action plan of that? That's very overarching rhetoric.
The action is clearly being able to have a conversation and that dialogue actually affecting the follow-up actions.
But who's having a conversation?
Well, between the people that are having, you know, the people of color versus the people in the military or the police force, maybe. But I think, you know, I look at like the example of like Okinawa and how their community is able to have like the highest number of people over 120 years old. You got to imagine they have a pretty stress-free life able to age gracefully like that. And what they do is they're always trying to teach themselves something new, whether that's guitar or gardening or some skill or learning from history or taking a course. And then every weekend they do a parade where the young teacher are showing the old their you know, music or their dances, and they do a parade and they get like feedback from the old, and then they, you know, tweak their performance and they keep moving. And then after the parade, they clean the island up together.
I would say, this is what I would say also, if you want like concrete right now, is they should have charged all those MOFOs right out the gate.
Look, I want to say something about
that. They should have charged them all out the gate, and now they got into second degree.
Finally. Because they could have thrown out third degree like that.
I will say this, is that the mugshot of Derek Chauvin looks nothing like the guy at all. So I don't even know if they got him. If you search the arrest records of Minneapolis, There's no arrest record for him whatsoever. So I think this is a complete setup, and it's a very fishy situation, that whole thing. But they should have come out the gate if they really wanted to, even if it's theatrical or whatever you're saying happened there.
They should have got him in front of a judge.
They should have been charged right out the gate. And they should, and also National Guard should have been deployed immediately. And whatever has to keep our cities safe so that people can walk out and it's not mass anarchy out there, that needs to happen. Yeah. And I'm sorry if you feel like, oh, don't deploy the military. I'm sorry. Military needs to go to New York City and get the shit under control. Then God bless them. They need to go.
And I want to respect the protesters as being unique and different from the looters. Yes. And anybody
they need to be protected from these elements so that they can continue protesting for the rest of the summer.
And be free to be American. What I was aware of is in my own life, I've seen how fast the justice system can work. I've seen how quickly somebody can go into the jail on Friday and in front of a judge on Monday and then either in jail or out of jail. Regardless, these guys should have already been in front of a judge.
Well, yes, they should have been charged. Everybody needs to be deployed to keep the country safe. And I would say the first step as far as really getting justice, and I think I'm starting to see this in one state, is that you need to start removing all of the protections that police have to be prosecuted by the victims of their own crimes so that they're not immune.
Right. So
that
is
step one.
Right.
That should be the first step legislatively, is that every policeman should be should have to answer for any crime that they commit against.
We have a serious problem with that. You've seen enough Law and Order episodes to know that the police and the courts work hand in hand with each other.
But
and
that's step one.
Yeah,
I would also say the immunity given to vaccine makers needs to be removed as well, because that would be step two in the country, because they're also given immunity. That's why they've been able to make billions of dollars, because they're immune to any lawsuits to being filed against them if their vaccine kills hundreds of thousands of people, which they do.
Well, so that's what the same thing is right now with businesses being sheltered from being liable for coronavirus cases in their offices or in their meat packing plants.
So yes. Get victims given the opportunity to file against police. That would be an enormous step.
Yeah.
That would start at least to make people feel like at least we have a chance. And obviously the judicial system is corrupt to the core, and that's where you start getting into, well, we need to start looking into our own communities and our own municipalities and our own jurisdictions and seeing who these judges are, who's in cahoots with who, and it's going to take time, but you're going to have to get them out and get people in there that actually care and are honorable.
I mean, it just seems so ironic with the coronavirus. You throw them in, you release them immediately. You know, like the way the jails are working right now.
Yeah, well, yeah.
It's so absurd. And the fact that we don't have a real clear understanding about the way the racial profiling is being taught and executed in a countrywide basis within the police academies, the way it's being expressed as to how to deal with people in the actual court systems. Here's my example. When I was personally charged with a DUI, I'm not going to lie about it. It was in my past. I went to court, and the public – I call him my public pretender, but the public defender they gave me.
Hey, I'm here for representing John Jonathan Fonderchan.
But I was like, are you for real the guy they gave me? Yeah. I'm like, all right, so what's my defense? He goes, oh, no, I'm putting you away for 2.5 years. Yeah. He said that to me. And I don't care about it because I tell jokes about it. But at the time, I assaulted a police officer. I was in a blackout, and I punched him in the face. And I had a 0.28 blood alcohol content, and I damaged three vehicles.
Three police vehicles?
No. Three regular cars.
Oh, wow.
But when the cops came to get me off the ground, I thought he was going to punch me. So I punched him first. And I don't remember any of that. I didn't see that I did that until I read the police report. I blacked out after playing drums on stage, and I woke up in a hospital. But what was fascinating was when I finally went to court and they gave me the lawyer to represent me, he says, I'm putting you away. I'm like, that's not your job.
Yeah.
Your job is to not put me away. And he goes, no, I'm putting you away so that we can show that this can happen to white people too. That's exactly what he said to me. I was like, so you're going to use me as your scapegoat
example? And then you said, wait. I'm Jewish.
I'm Jewish.
So just did you remember? Do I need to make a phone call?
I mean, this is the first time I ever sounded like Trump.
Do you want a deal? I could get you a deal on something. Right.
Do you want your taxes done?
What do you want?
What do you want?
Yeah.
This is the first time and only time I ever sounded like Trump. I straight up looked at the guy and I was like, you're fired.
Yes.
And I got a lawyer, and the lawyer that I got was like, are you fucking kidding me? He wanted to put you away. Yeah, and I was like, yeah. And I ended up, you know, I got the, cause what happened was, is the cop forgot to book me within 48 hours of the event. And because of that, the judge threw the assault and battery felony charge off of me. And I could have gone to jail for a really long time if the police followed protocol. And so I was really, really lucky.
Really lucky.
The three people whose cars I hit didn't show up to court.
You would not have survived in jail.
No, I was there for less than 48 hours. I did have to serve time, and it turns out I didn't realize till after I left that Twin Towers is one of the worst jails in the country, maybe the world. The judge said to me, "You got away with punching a cop in the face." It was the first time I've ever said that to somebody.
Wow.
You know, and it wasn't because I was white. It was oh, you'll love this. So when I was in the hospital and I woke up, I read the guy's badge. It was Officer Wilhelm.
Yeah.
And I was like, and it was just me and the two cops. And I was like, "Get this Nazi away from me. Nurse, he's hitting me again. He's hitting me again." And she told the cop to step outside while, you know, they finished like working on me. I was drunk and I was a monster.
Yeah.
But, I realized that I, at that moment, was taking advantage of the potential for what police brutality means to our culture. Mm-hmm. And I got out of it. I really believe that we need to, stay safe and open a dialogue and try to, you know, come together and collaborate and compromise and whatever we can to, like, you know, turn the corner in a positive way, because we need some serious change in this country.
Yeah. Well, it's all happening. Everything's working out for the best. It's all going to work out just perfectly. Trusting, trusting, trusting.
Yofi, how do you feel for Animal Kind?
Just a little Yofi's in my face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, we're glad we got something out to you. Last words?
Please stay tuned. Follow us. Binge us. Tell your friends about us.
Give us the reviews on Apple Podcasts.
We'll be back soon. Free brightness.
All right. All right, guys. Be safe out there. Do what you got to do, but be safe.
Peace.